The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
A theme that was kind of running through the week this week a bit was, I suppose, in a way, the brutality of political life. Arlene Foster called it brutal. Her very speedy exit from everything, and that seems to have become all very personalised and difficult. And we saw it in the Republic as well on Tuesday morning. The news broke that the former Minister for Housing, Owen Murphy, had resigned his seat. And when he spoke to Claire Byrne, he talked about some of the challenges of the job.
Social media is the new battleground, but we're still building the rules around that battleground. Social media has driven a type of 24/7 politics, which I don't think is sustainable. Like, when you're a minister, you're always on. But every TD now, every councillor always has to be tweeting, always has to be doing these things, always has to be answerable. And I think that's going to just not be sustainable. It was tough. But it was like, you develop coping mechanisms. A lot of miles spent out on Sandymount Strand running at night when I get home from work to, you know, when you'd had a difficult day. You know, while I did get a bit abuse, the people around me got abuse as well. A previous girlfriend of mine used to get the most horrific abuse to her face in public. And that's not on.
And that was Owen Murphy there talking about his decision to leave politics. Now, Owen Murphy was adamant that the abuse is not why he was leaving. But clearly, as you can hear there, it was a big issue for him. And I think the feeling in general is that politics is becoming a nastier space, and that politicians are kind of seen as fair game in a way that other professions aren't. So I'm joined this morning by three former politicians. John Halligan was in politics for 21 years, first as a councillor, then an independent TD, and then, of course, a minister for state in the last government. Lorraine Higgins was a Labour senator for 5 years, and she's run as a Dáil candidate in Galway East as well, and she also ran for the European Parliament elections. And Noel Rock was elected a councillor at age 26, and he did 2 years there before a term as a Fine Gael TD for Dublin North West in the last government. Good morning, guys. You're all very welcome. John, can I start with you? In terms of the abuse, the abuse started for you, I think, when you went into government, really, wasn't it?
No, it actually started on the Eighth Amendment. That was, I have vigorously, if you like, profiled myself as pro-choice. And I got horrendous abuse for a number of years along those lines. My family and myself, it really started there. But it really took off when you went into government, when you became a minister.
A sellout.
You were called everything. The funny thing about it is that I've always made a point that nobody ever stopped you in the street to say it to you. Everything was online or anonymously and so on. I wanted to say before I go on that I regard Owen Murphy as a really good guy. There was a perception out there that because of his background, he wasn't aware of what was happening in housing, or he wasn't aware of those that were in more need of housing than others. He was. I knew him very well as a Minister for State in the Department of Finance and then as a Minister for Housing. And he did feel pain with the housing crisis. There's no question about that. And I think what's happened with politics is that there's a perception out there that because you're a politician and then because you're in government, that you don't feel pain or hurt, that you don't go to a quiet place and say, Jesus, why am I getting this abuse?
Yeah.
And that you're fair game. And I think there's a big difference between excellent presenters like yourself, particularly astute people like yourself, and constructive criticism with politicians. And we deserve that. And we need to be analysed and profiled. I don't have a problem with that with RT or other stations. But when you have online people that you don't even know abusing you, threatening to, like, I ended up having to go to the guards at one stage because this guy said it, and it's well documented, that you better start looking under your car. It didn't really bother me. It bothered my wife and it bothered one of my daughters, to be honest with you, because she was held in a cafe by six pro-lifers with her daughter. Or sorry, her son, and abused because of me, because of my support, because in Waterford, I was the only government TD at the time, if you like, that was outspoken on it. But I think that, you know, that there is this feeling out there that, you're, as you said, you're fair game, you're a TD. We can say what we wouldn't say to an ordinary person or a business person, but because you're a TD and because we voted you in, We'll say what we like, and some of the abuse is.
Did it bother you, John?
No, to be quite frankly, it didn't. I tell you why I went to the guards with this guy that had threatened to whatever he wanted to do to my car was that I thought about it and I said, well, hold on a bit. If this guy is not the full shilling, with all respect, and if he does something to a vulnerable person or a woman. Now, yeah. The guards did actually track them down. They were excellent. They tracked him down in Dublin. He didn't show much remorse, to be quite frank with you. That's the way it was. I think it's reached that stage. It didn't bother me, but it did bother my wife. And it had an effect on one of my daughters.
Yeah, and your daughter was going to go into politics, was she?
My daughter is really... I have a daughter and I have a granddaughter studying politics, about to study politics in Cork University. And she's spoken in the Shannon. She really is into politics. But I get that little inclination from them now. I'm not too sure anymore. They're listening to what happened. They're listening to what happened to Owen Murphy. They're listening to what happened, particularly to women TDs. I mean, I've spoken and you've had them on your show and I've been on shows with women TDs threatening rape, threatening all sorts of violent retorts to women. And this is just... I believe it's getting out of hand and it will prohibit, I think, younger people and particularly young women from coming into politics if it cannot be stopped. And to be quite frank with you, I don't know how it can be stopped.
Yeah. So, Lorraine Higgins, that brings us to you. I think, is it fair to say that it was abuse that drove you out of politics?
Well, it certainly was a defining moment, Brendan, because I'd put up with about 2 years of abuse ever since the start of the European election campaign. And it was just so relentless and continuous bombardment that I remember making a decision in summer 2015 and saying to myself and to my parents at the time, you know, in all likelihood, this will possibly be my last election and I'm not really bothered. I'm going to start making plans for what I'll do after that. Because, you know, while I was a senator, appointed a senator in 2011, nobody forewarned me as to what was to be expected. I was never a councillor. I never served as a TD before. So it was really a rude awakening. But I think, you know, the coarsening of public discourse since 2014 has really escalated. And it's something that really needs to be constrained at this point in time.
And to what John said there about that, and I think there is a view that it's often worse for women. Tell me about the kind of abuse you got, like quite nasty and based around you being a woman, a lot of it too.
Absolutely, Brendan. There was a lot of focus on sexual violence, rape, physical appearance, you name it. And that manifested itself, I suppose, over that period of time, such that I had to make reports to the Gardaí about the kind of abuse that I was receiving from members of the public. Unfortunately, I got 4 death threats in that period of time, with the last one being the most menacing of all of them, which resulted in a 6-month suspended sentence for the perpetrator.
And what kind of effect does that have on you, Lorraine, like psychologically and in your life?
Well, I'm a fairly robust individual, I have to say that at the outset. And I suppose thanks to the relentless nature of the job and politics, you didn't get a lot of time to wallow in self-pity over it. But the one thing I noticed that when I did leave politics, it was like this huge weight had been moved off my shoulders and I didn't have to consider, you know, the effect of this anymore. I found it really difficult from the perspective of dealing with my parents and their upset and my sisters and brothers who felt that they couldn't come out on social media and defend my position or defend the government's position in terms of what they were doing. Because I think people felt that politicians were a legitimate target, particularly in the government 2011 to 2016. And people felt that they were, you know, a legitimate target to demean because they weren't doing exactly what was in their interests. And of course, it was an extremely difficult time. But every politician that was serving was doing what they could in the national interests. And I suppose people needed to understand that there were constraints, just like there are constraints now around the pandemic.
When people hear you say that you got 4 death threats, but the last one was the most menacing, as if the other 3 you kind of could live with. What was the nature of say the more menacing one?
The more menacing one, I was sent videos of people shooting. I was sent videos of guns. I was told what gun they were going to shoot me with. I was told how they were going to shoot me. I was told that they were training over a bank holiday weekend to make sure that they had their target perfected. And I was also stalked and followed on at least 2 occasions.
By that same person?
Exactly.
Okay, so that person knew where you were and knew your movements and everything?
So it seems, because they had communicated that to me by email, and the specific details were they aligned with what I was doing at that time.
And you were told as well that your parents were at risk at one stage, weren't you?
That's right, yeah. Unfortunately, that was the worst part of it. And I think that made, you know, the decision about continuing in politics or re-entering it very simple for me.
And tell me about your parents being at risk.
Well, it was, I suppose all of my family were at risk to an extent, but there was a specific threat, yes, for my parents, which I don't want to go into the details about.
Okay, but clearly this must have had a big effect on your parents as well. They had to get security in their house and that, didn't they?
Well, there was advice, I think, to most politicians who were encountering the kind of difficulties of serving in public life at the time, that they, you know, should enhance their security and have added lighting around the property and so on. And unfortunately, I wasn't living with them at the time. And the fact that they had to make those kind of changes to their property is really regretful, given that they didn't sign up for public life.
Yeah. John, you're nodding along there. Was security a concern?
Yeah, I was contacted by the guards a number of years ago, and they gave me a Garda liaison number that there was indications that people were going to come to my house and demonstrate outside my house, and it didn't happen. And I think the TD in Kilkenny, John Paul Phelan, both John Paul Phelan and myself were contacted, I think, by the guards. I think he was as well. I know I was. And the guards were excellent. They gave me a number, 24-hour number to ring them. Now, it didn't happen. And I don't think it would have bothered me. It would have bothered my family, obviously.
Yeah.
But it reached a stage where speaking to TDs in the Dáil, there was a fear. People were... There was a fear among TDs, even though there was a bit of bravado as well. Well, look, I don't really care. But I think deep down, most of them did. But I mean, like, all you've got to do is listen to what Lorraine is saying. I mean, that's beyond belief what happened to her. As I was saying to you earlier on, there are other politicians from Fianna Fáil. There was one particular politician from Fianna Fáil. I was on a show with her, an RTÉ show. And she was telling me before the show that she was threatened with rape as well. I mean, we're reaching a stage where this is appalling. And it will, there's no question in my mind, I think it will drive people out of politics and stop people from entering politics.
I would imagine so.
I think it will, yes.
Yeah. Noel Rock, when did the abuse start for you?
I think, Brendan, when I became a TD, it kind of gradually escalated as your profile escalates to a certain extent. And so I would have experienced a lot of the same things as John there, and some of the same things as Lorraine.
Okay,
so for
tell
example,
us about it. Yeah.
Well, for example, a Garda liaison was appointed. We had two visits to the house where they would have inspected various security elements of the house and recommended, like Lorraine was saying about her parents' house, more lighting, CCTV. It was shown that where I collected my post that somebody could potentially grab me from a blind spot. So it was recommended we add new fencing there, that we raise fencing in our back garden, all this kind of thing. And that's quite scary in a way, in that you're not even just thinking about yourself. Obviously, I live with somebody. I have neighbours. You know, you're thinking about their safety more than your own, even, because while I chose to get into politics and chose to put my name on a ballot, they didn't. And while it's not acceptable for politicians to have to put up with this kind of thing at all, I don't think it's definitely not acceptable or tolerable that the people around a politician have to put up with it.
And you would have, what were the threats and abuse that led to those security concerns?
Well, there would have been a number of death threats received at various points, but they would have been of varying degrees of seriousness. The Gardaí received one in particular, though, or got wind of one in particular, that caused them to visit the house and caused them to undertake the security check in the house. There would have been a protest.
Do you know where that came from?
To this day, no. I don't know exactly where that came from. There would have been a protest outside the house as well the week after. If you recall, Brendan, Simon Harris, his wife, was effectively followed home by protesters one day about 2 years ago now. And those same protesters appeared at my own home the next weekend. So there would have been various incidents along the way like that. And for example, you know, we'd have a little constituency office, or we did. It only had one door in and one door out. So we were always very, very conscious of staff safety, for example, as well. So there were a number of occasions where we had to simply close down the office for the day because of threats received against the office, because if anything happened, Brendan, obviously, you know, the staff couldn't necessarily be guaranteed to be able to safely get out So that was always a running problem
as well. And Noel, is this politically motivated? Is it on issues and that?
Yeah, it would have been, you know, a lot of it would have been because of perceived issues in government. I know the protest outside my house was to do with Defence Forces pay. And some of these, you know, are reasonable criticisms and points in a way. But the way they're being levelled at politicians is obviously making people question whether they want to remain in politics. And I think you can see an element of that with what Owen Murphy said on Claire Byrne's programme on Tuesday. And I think for a lot of people who are either in politics or thinking about getting into politics, you begin to ask yourself, is politics compatible with a somewhat normal life anymore? And I think for a lot of people, they're coming to the conclusion that it isn't. And that's a danger, really? I think, and that's a problem.
Yeah. And in terms of a normal life, outside of the abuse then, do you have any kind of much of a personal life or much of a downtime life or anything like that?
Well, you couldn't during it, really. No, I mean, and again, Owen talked about this, the 24/7 nature of it meant that you'd be getting contacted sometimes at 11 o'clock about a particular issue. And come 11:30, your phone would be ringing again asking why you hadn't answered the message. And this is in the evening. So like
that. And then presumably the abuse is going on 24/7 as well if it's on social media, is
of,
it?
Of course, yeah. And I mean, like the ideal solution to it, of course, is to say, well,
Don't look at it.
Yeah, don't look at it or turn off the notifications. But the nature of the work is that you want to be available because there are genuine people who genuinely need your help at all hours of the day and night sometimes. And sometimes you can assist them no matter what time of day. So you don't really want to be ignoring your phone either lest you miss them. So it's a bit of a catch-22 in a way. And I think a lot of people who maybe level abuse at the phones of myself or John or Lorraine, they maybe don't think or realise that, you know, these are the politicians' actual phones. Like, you know, the politicians are checking these phones and they are reading them, and often they're at home on their own at nighttime. And, you know, that's a strange kind of intrusion that I don't think people maybe appreciate.
Do you agree with John? I know you had that protest outside the house, but in general, people are not doing this face to face. Is that right? They are doing it when hiding behind the anonymity of social media.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there is a large element of that. In fact, the protest outside the house, we weren't actually aware of it. They never sought to talk to me or contact me even. They just protested outside the house. I don't live in a particularly big house, but I happened to be in the back of the house watching television, and I only saw it on social media, which is the most bizarre thing. And then a neighbour mentioned it to me a few hours later. So there is that kind of element of seeking to confront without actually seeking to discuss, which
does,
I think...
Does it feel a bit sinister?
It certainly does when the Gardaí were at the house and going through the steps of evaluating not only the safety of me, but my partner. And again, talking about things like, you know, be careful checking your post. Make sure you close your door when you're checking your post. You could be grabbed here. That kind of stuff. Kind of keeps you awake at night, to be honest, Brendan. That kept me going for a while.
Did it? Yeah, yeah. So I sense that John is tough enough about these things. I sense you're possibly a slightly more sensitive kind of person. No, and I don't say that in a critical way, but you did lie awake at night worrying.
Yeah, I think so. And again, not about myself, but just about other people or things that could happen. You know, there would have been the odd confrontation outside the Dáil, for example. And you kind of take that on the chin to a certain extent because it's part of your work day and your work life and you're in work mode. But when it starts to visit your own front door and your own house and your own road, that poses problems, I think. And I think if anyone's listening to this and thinking that maybe they're on the fence about getting into politics, I can't imagine anyone would be enticed by the idea that people start visiting your house or protesting outside your house or having to get Garda checks or add cameras or lights to your house. That's no life.
I think it's important that, and all of us would be aware of this, that we don't turn off people from going into politics. Me, younger people in politics, having said all that's happening to us, that I would make an appeal to people. Politics is a great place to be. You have an opportunity as a councillor, a mayor, a TD, a minister to try and do something to better your constituency and your country. So I think it's important for us all to say that, however bad it is for some politicians, that that we strive to get better people into politics. The issue is how do we deal with that small percentage of ferocious group of people. Noel was talking about, like, do people think about what they're doing? I think they do. I think there's a sinister element who know I'm going to say something as hurtful as I possibly can to get at them. There would be genuine...
Where do you think that sinister element is?
I think there's the emergence in Ireland of an extreme... I don't like using left or right, but I think there is an extreme right element on the American style, the kind of Trump style, where, like, everything is up for grabs, that if we can beat down a politician one way or another, we'll do it. And I think it's concentrated in a sense that it's organised.
Yeah,
the Gardaí will tell you that it's organised. It's organised within a particular group of people who are extreme right. If you deviate from a view that there should be abortion, LGBT rights and so on, that you're open for attack. There's absolutely no question.
And look, equally, people who are on the other side of that will say that they get fairly vicious attacks on those issues.
Absolutely. You're correct, Alan. It's important to say that as well.
Lorraine, did you get any support from the party or from, you know, is there a system there to help you out in all of this?
I kind of feel, Brendan, that I was a bit of a prototype because it was kind of the first incident of online abuse, really, that had been recorded by a politician up until that point in time. The Gardaí were fantastic. They gave great support, a bit like John and Noel. I had a number that I had to call if I thought I heard a noise outside my house, which was in itself a bit of comfort. But unfortunately, no, I didn't get any support from anybody in the Oireachtas.
Noel, did you get any support?
No, there wouldn't have been anything formalised or in place. I think in a way, Brendan, the system is still adapting, I guess, to the nature of 24/7 politics. Even stuff like, you know, how to deal with abuse online, for example, let alone this more, you know, personal intrusion into the home space. So I think there is a bit of work to be done there, but I'd hope it will improve for people coming ahead.
Lorraine, an interesting point that you make is that I believe after you got out of politics then, so you think, okay, I get out of this, I've had enough of this, it kind of follows you in a sense and marks you as you're off trying to move on with your life and get jobs and all that.
Yeah, that's true, Brendan. I remember, like not at all now, but certainly back right after I finished up in politics and the first job that I started, I remember my boss at the time had decided that he was going to tweet, you know, that I had joined the team, and unfortunately lots of abuse came into that Twitter account. So I found myself in the office explaining, you know, that this was just politically contrived, and while I'm no longer a member of any party and I'm not intent on going back, unfortunately this is how it follows you around. But thankfully that stopped after that.
Okay, and life after politics is going well for you now. Noel, how is life after politics going for you?
Yeah, it was a tough few months. I think for anyone who lost out in general, it's always tough. But in 2020, maybe especially so, Brendan, because COVID obviously started a few weeks after. So whatever prospects there were of getting employment soon after politics kind of evaporated to a certain extent as the world stood still. But since then, things have picked up a little bit, and I've started my own company, and I'm working with a few very smart clients now. So yeah, things are looking a little bit better.
John Halligan, are you adjusting to life on the other side?
Absolutely. I chose not to stand again. I'd made a decision that when I reached a certain age way back, and I told all my staff that I was opting out because I wanted another few years to do other stuff. I'm an amateur microbiologist. I study that. I have my own laboratory at home, and that's what I'm doing at present.
What?
Yes, I have my big, powerful microscopes. I've used the electron microscope in Trinity College and so on.
What are you studying?
I actually study, believe it or not, pond life. I'm an expert on pond. I have a pond in my garden.
That's fitting enough,
so,
isn't
so it? That's fitting enough. And, like, you know, there's so many species. But I wanted to come back very briefly to support, like, I recall when we went into government, that was the Independent Alliance. There was Boxer Moore and Finian McGrath, Shane Ross and myself. There was an awareness by Leo Varadkar and then the Kenny before that we were being targeted because we were seen as keeping the government in power.
Okay.
And I think there was a recognition there because quite often, particularly Leo Varadkar had mentioned it to us, he was aware that, look, we were under pressure sometimes. Funny enough, none of us ever lost any supporters. All of the people that came with me from the Workers' Party all the way through stayed with me. It wasn't that. It was the online, and it was the trolls who decided, like, look, for no better reason than you're in government, and more so when you're a minister, that we're going to come after you, whether you like it or not. But there was a little bit of support there. But I think that maybe something needs to be done in the Oireachtas. There needs to be some, I hate to say this, a committee or a grouping get together that can offer some support, maybe bring in some sort of councillors that are available to TDs and so on. And people may say, oh, are you special? Well, if you look at the abuse that all of the TDs are getting.
Yeah.
And I wanted to
and
say...
And it's the kind of support that's available in a lot of workplaces. And I know and people I think they did it in the Houses of Parliament during Brexit.
They did. People might not like me saying this, but you look at what online abuse has done to some people. It's led to people committing suicide. Now, TDs are not above ordinary people. They suffer and they have feelings. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that if something is not done, that is what might happen. Some TD might damage him or herself like other ordinary people do. And then what would we say? There would be people on your programme apologising, or you'll have councillors, you know, you'll be asking, why wasn't there something done? That is my fear for the future, that there may be a TD that's vulnerable in his own personal or her own personal life, and that might be the tipping point.
You think there's a wake-up call here?
Absolutely.
Right? And Noel, for having said all that, do you miss politics?
You know, despite the conversation we've had for the last 20 minutes.
You can't help yourselves, can you? Lorraine, I'd say you miss it a little bit as well, do you?
You'll always be there in the periphery watching and taking an interest in things, for sure. And look, it is a massive privilege to serve. And I wouldn't like anybody to think that the last, 20 minutes talking about how bad it is, that that's all it's about. There are many facets to it, but unfortunately, this is just one of the really, really ugly features of Irish politics at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, there's a lot of texts coming in. Most of them very sympathetic, I must say. But John, there's one texter here to 51551 says, you and your guests are missing one big point. The people have no outlet for their disapproval and anger. Well, I would have thought they do. But TDs and councillors have full access to the media and shows like yours, but the public don't. Is there a frustration out there? Is that part of it?
I think I'll answer this as best as I can. There is. And there's a difference between people stopping and saying, John, I don't agree with what you're doing in government, or I don't agree with the policies that Fine Gael and the Independent Alliance, or I think you're not doing a good job in the particular portfolio. That's fine. That's what you call constructive criticism. And we get that. All TDs get that all of the time. And we want that, and it's important. We also get it from the likes of people like yourself who grill us and say, look, you've done a bad job here. What about the spending on housing? Did you spend enough here and so on? And we accept that, and we have to accept that, and that's what it's about. Okay. I think what we're talking about is this non-constructive, vile criticism that takes it to another level of deliberately trying to hurt you and hurt your family. And I think that's the difference.
Lorraine, I'll give you the last word.
I don't think there's anything wrong with below the belt comments or proper debate on policy issues or direction that government's taking. But when it descends into a situation where there are direct threats and abuse, I think everybody will have a difficulty with that.
Absolutely. And another texter here saying, deplorable for anyone, politician or others, to have to suffer such unacceptable abuse. Seems to me this is a much wider issue. For how much longer will the world live with anonymous social media email accounts? That's from Pat. And look, somebody's going to have to bell this cat here. Like, can the tech companies be trusted to do it, or does it need to be in the hands of governments and law and order and the Gardaí? We're going to have to decide what we do with it. Okay, John Halligan, Lorraine Higgins and Noel Rock, thank you all very much for speaking so honestly about that.